from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
May Farland. Let's go. Let's go. If there's only something to talk about in the world of baseball, baseball is indeed not boring. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And as almost always, Gordo and Sammy of the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo, say hello.
What's going on?
He's live here, too. Sammy is live as well.
Hello, hello.
All right. Okay, so let's go. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing. We've hit the lull in the baseball season. What are we going to do? We are going to do plenty. That's the answer. So if you want to jump on and be part of the conversation, 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. As we lead into the pregame show, I think it's with Cooper Boardman, which obviously leads into what I consider, fellas, a big game. I think this is a big game.
Certainly is.
It's not fork in the road game, fork in the road status, but it's a big game.
They're kind of past. Like, are there any forks in the road? Like, the decisions have been made.
Well, I think. Like, oh no, the decisions. I'm just talking about staying in it. You know, it's like you don't want to keep going down this road of this. Let's take stock of what's happened here. Where since the All-Star break, they've won 2 games.
Yeah.
So. That's what I'm talking about. You can't keep going down this road. You have to sort of right the ship and go down the right road. Right, Sammy? Correct?
I mean, this is going to determine how my Monday goes, this game tonight. So I need a win, personally.
That's very important.
Very.
At a certain point, you do have to right. Like, yeah, obviously they could lose the game and then win the next 7. But at a certain point, you have to right the ship. And what better time to do
fellas,
it than win a series?
I mean, here's the other thing. Is that
with your ace on the mound.
Kansas City, these other teams, Kansas City, the Twins, they have easier schedules. You know how I know that? Because they play the White Sox a crap load of times.
Yep.
So the Red Sox, as has been well documented, has the out of the second half or after the All-Star game, has the most difficult schedule in all of baseball. Now, I don't buy too much into that because it is what it is. The other teams that you're judging that they're playing could fall out of it. Either you're good or you're not. They feel like they're good. They feel like they're in a good place. They have to get right. They have to get their bullpen right. They have to. We're going to see what happens at the trade deadline. It's a very exciting time because I do feel like after all this guessing about which road they're going to go down, in this, since we did the show, whatever, last week, whenever it was, where was I? I was in L.A.
You're in L.A.
I was in L.A. And even that, like, why I proclaimed over a month ago that they were going to be buyers, it wasn't until Craig Breslow came out and said, we are going to be buyers, that we could say they are absolutely going to be buyers, and they absolutely are going to be buyers. Now we get a chance to see what that looks like. So far, what it looks like, James Paxton, we just talked to him down in the clubhouse. We can play that sound a little bit later in the show. Danny Jansen in the lineup today as DH. We can talk about that. I have an interesting tidbit about what his role is going to be.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
Yes. So
Rexpecs. We got a Rexpecs guy. The glasses.
Yeah, I would think the spog. It's not. It's not spogles. It's glasses. That's called.
I just call them rec specs.
Yeah. No one cares.
Rec like.
So anyway, we're gonna find out. There's been some trades made today. You had Isaac Paredes. No, is that his?
Isak Paredes.
I knew I would say Isak Paredes, who went to the Cubs, which was surprising because. Yeah. A week ago, Jed Hoyer was saying, it doesn't look like we're gonna do much or whatever. It seemed like they were gonna sell, and now they're buying. They're doing the same thing they did last year with Candelario. So you have that. You have the Phillies basically has become the Phillies in the field. I mean, let's be honest, guys. It's the Phillies in the field right now. Am I wrong?
They traded a ton.
Who cares? Who cares?
I'm just saying they gave up a ton.
Dombrowski, rental reliever. You say what you want about Dombrowski, he always gets his guy. I can't.
You know, what did they need? What did the Phillies need?
A closer.
A closer.
And they got
a closer. It's that simple.
They got the best right-handed closer simple. On the
We
market.
Have our guy out here. All right.
The Dominator.
So our guy Tyler, this is the biggest news, right? This is the biggest news that today the Dom Smith sign drama, which right. I had done an interview with Dom Smith in, where was I? I lose track of where I was. I was in the Colorado.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, I was. And so I did an interview, and he says, you know, he brings up the sign. Of course, Tyler is like, you know, he made the sign. It got confiscated for some reason.
For being too big.
Too big. Well, we have the dimensions correct?
It's the same dimensions?
It's not going to get taken away. Dom Smith comes on my interview, and I think it was a 2-minute grill for the pregame show. He mentions the sign. He's like, I got to hook my guy up. Who had the sign. So we got Tyler, who made the sign, brings his dad, and he said he hooked him up with BP passes.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to be in there today, courtesy Dom Smith, good guy Dom Smith.
Courtesy of the first baseman that stepped up.
The first baseman steps up. We see the sign out here. We get a sneak peek of it. I can't wait for Dom Smith to see it. I hope Tyler and dad, Tyler's dad, I hope you take a ton of photos, right? This is a feel-good moment. I feel like if you want good vibes today, sorry all you Yankees fans out there, but you basically lost. You've lost the game because Tyler here is here with his sign. Like this is it's,
he's very talented.
The good vibes are firmly planted in the Red Sox side of things because of the Dominator Dom Smith side. And that is
awesome.
He loves it. He legitimately likes it. We spoke to Dom Smith yesterday, and he reiterated that he loves the
sign. Gordo, can you take a photo of that?
Yeah.
So we take a photo of that so we give the people a sneak peek of what's coming up. So this is the already, you're welcome, Red Sox fans. You have the good vibes. Danny Jansen is DHing. They've claimed...
Johan Ramirez.
Yes, who everyone wanted. We were all talking Johan all day.
This was.
Make fun of me all you want. I like Johan Ramirez.
No,
I like him.
He's a fine player.
All right, he's fine.
95th percentile extension.
Oh, that's...
Fans
that's
love
what I, that's what I asked Sammy. I said, Sammy, what? He's like, oh, he's got great extension.
People love that. People love that.
Red Sox lead the league in extension between Cooper Criswell and Johan Ramirez.
Look at their draftees. Peyton Tolley in the second round.
That's great.
Elite extension.
That's super.
Six
that's
ERA, super. But he's got
listen,
extension.
And if you're going to ask me the most important thing today, Johan Ramirez or Tyler Seine, I'm going with Tyler Seine. Well, Tyler Seine is next level vibe check. All right, so we got a ton to get to. In case you missed it, there were moves made today by the Red Sox. Chase Anderson, Reese McGuire, both designated for assignment. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, really, in either case. And then James Paxton, and as we said, Danny Jansen DHing. We'll get you the lineup a little bit. And then Johan Ramirez. But there's more stuff coming. Not only after Craig Breslow proclaimed, we are going to buy. And they were in on Paxton. We knew that early on. That made a lot of sense. But the competitive Craig, this is what I like. I feel like we're going to get the competitive Craig Breslow, which everybody wanted in the offseason. That's what we're going to get. I feel like that. Like, I might be wrong because, the prices are too high or whatever. But they've already overpaid for one guy.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a guy at a position that they didn't necessarily – like, no one was saying they needed an upgrade at the backup catcher. Obviously, like, Reese McGuire's production hasn't been good basically since April, but everyone said right-handed bat, starting pitcher, bullpen, and the guy they overpaid for – yeah, he's a right-handed bat, but it's a backup catcher.
So yes. So Reese McGuire, DFA, gone. We all know Danny Jansen sliding in as a catcher, the other catcher to Connor Wong. But they both hit from the right side, but, you know, Connor Wong can hit both pitches. But here's the thing. Here's what you're going to look for. Ready? Brace yourself. Connor Wong is going to start playing more second base.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even with only two catchers on the run.
Yeah, even
Connor
with
Wong
the
is going to start playing more second base.
Got to get that bat in the lineup. Here's my, can I tell you my concern? Gordo and I, we discussed this before we went on air. Technically, you could say they've checked all the boxes for stuff they needed, and that scares me. Because I don't think these ads are good enough, and I hope they keep coming.
Yeah, so and we can talk about it. I want to encourage everybody, 617-779-7937, to join the conversation. See, you already lined up. But you're right, Sammy, because I think that, you know, we asked Breslow this the other day. You know, you wanted to come out of this deadline with a starting pitching. All right, you got James Paxton. Great. Good for you. But the problem is that if Tanner Houck starts going the other way, Cutter Crawford's gone the other way a little bit. You know, you don't know what you're getting with Bayo. Pivetta hasn't been good in the last time out. So if you don't have that, no doubt about it, that guy is potentially going to pitch in a postseason game. As much as I like the James Paxton move and I like James Paxton, I don't think you classify him as a postseason pitcher right now, right?
No, he's a veteran. I would feel fine if him pitching. But, like, yeah, no, that's, he's not the guy you want.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what, but I think that right now, that's not the priority. The priority is not a mystery, right? I mean, the priority is a relief pitcher. I mean, honestly, I think they've already missed the boat. Now they can save themselves. But I said this before. This shouldn't have taken them by surprise. When they came out of the All-Star break, you're without Slayton, you're without Martin. You knew that was going to be a challenge, and sure enough, and then you also knew in Colorado you're going to be without Kenley Jansen. Mm-hmm. So you knew all of that, and yet you rode with it, and it cost them probably, I'm going to say this, by not having one of those guys, it cost them four games.
Yeah, I mean,
you made the argument.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. I mean, I don't like to be dramatic, like you got to make a move ASAP, but with the bullpen, you kind of got to make a move right now.
Yeah, and we're seeing as we see, you know, the market for these relievers is costly. But
price for Jason Adam today?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, Dave Dombrowski, sure. Do you need an Estevez like Dave Dombrowski got? No. But to take out of the page out of Dave Dombrowski's book, if you need something and you're going to buy, then, and you want to be competitive, then you're going to have to get uncomfortable.
Can I give you a name?
Sure. I like names.
Andrew Chafin from the Tigers.
I like it.
Lefty, strikeouts,
yep.
Veteran. You could have him next year if you want to. It's a little bit expensive, but we could talk about that later. I think that's who they need, someone like that. And I like that he's a veteran. He's not a young guy. You could feel a little more comfortable with him in there in high-leverage spots.
I like that. So keep the names coming. Again, 617-779-7937. We're live from Fenway Park at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo Asami from the Play Tessie podcast. Gordo's going to tweet out the picture from Tyler, the much-anticipated new Dom Smith poster. Everyone's waiting for it. We got the calls lined up. We got the conversation going all the way to pregame show. That leads to first pitch. Everyone's jacked up. It's been a great crowd. And I told Cora this. I said his quote after game five was money. His quote about the museum, about the Fenway experience, about finally it's neither one of those things. Right? I'm paraphrasing, but so be it. And we can also talk about me falling off a scooter and wrecking my face. It's all on the table. Let's go. 617-779-7937. We're going to trend right now with Zach.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees last night, 11-8 the final in extras. Another blown save for the Sox bullpen. That makes it a league-leading 7 since the end of the All-Star break. They'll be back in action for the rubber match against the Yankees tonight on Sunday Night Baseball. Tanner Houck on the mound opposite Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione will have all the play-by-play action. First pitch at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Trade deadline now just 3 days away. Red Sox and Yankees both active on the trade market. Sox yesterday acquiring catcher Danny Jansen from the Blue Jays in exchange for three prospects, while the Yankees acquired shortstop/outfielder Jazz Chisholm from the Marlins, also in exchange for three prospects. Trade deadline set for Tuesday at 6 p.m. In other Red Sox news, to make room for Danny Jansen and James Paxton, the team announced that they've DFA'd catcher Reese.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
McGuire and reliever Chase Anderson. They also have claimed reliever Johan Ramirez off waivers from the Dodgers. Team USA Basketball kicked off their Olympic campaign this morning, defeating Nikola Jokic and Serbia 110-84 at the final. Kevin Durant led the way for Team USA with 23 points. Celtics on the team, Drew Holiday, 15 points. Derek White with 2. Jason Tatum did not play. When asked about that decision, Steve Kerr said that he was simply playing the combinations that made the most sense. Their next game is set for Wednesday afternoon against South Sudan. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right. We're back. Baseball's a Boring Show at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. It's what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. And I am alive. I've been on the road for 2 weeks. And I would consider, like, actually today as my last day off the road because I was down the Cape at the great, great event, Cape Cod League All-Star Game, emceed the Home Run Derby, which, you know, I had never emceed a Home Run Derby before.
So were you, like, back? Were you like...
I was like, yeah, my thing was... So, no, I'm not doing the back, because I've criticized Chris Berman enough.
Boomer.
Doing the back. So,
what's
I was...
home run call?
My thing was, get up,
get out of here!
You know, there was a lot of line drives. There was a lot... And these kids were getting tired. They didn't understand. It's an exhausting experience. Congratulations to Ethan. I'll remember his name in a second. But for winning it, it was a great event. And you have the Cape Cod League All-Star Game, which you can catch on NESN. John Mita Peral and myself, we did that game as well. So, I hadn't been to a Cape League game since I was like 10.
They're so great. They're so much fun.
Yeah. And by the way, the weather was awesome. The crowd was unbelievable. People were there hours upon hours before the game. So it was just a great time. And that was the punctuation of a long driving around, flying around the country for me, which included falling off my scooter and wrecking my face.
See, you got a little bit too close to the road.
I did. Yes. Yeah. Life on the road was literally my life almost ended on the road.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it was a hell of a journey.
It was a hell of a journey. Yeah, it was. That's the price you pay when you take things to the limit, like I like to do in my extremes.
Do you have stitches in your face, or is
it's they're the whatever the strip.
Yeah, the band-aid.
I may have not needed stitches. I mean, it was after I, in case people don't know, I fell off a scooter in Denver, landed on my face. I have an enormous black eye, cuts all over my face. And so I'm bleeding profusely, and I'm sitting outside the Sheraton with my wife, like, stitching me up. It must have been such a great advertisement for Sheraton. This, like, bloodied mess, you know, right by the fire pit in the Sheraton. All right. So anyway, we got a lot to get to. Appreciate it. So, oh, Cape Cod League Home Run Derby winner, I should note, Ethan Petrie. So, Ethan Petrie, yes. So,
congrats, excellent. Ethan.
Congrats.
So, all right. So, let's get to the calls. Let's do it. And, of course, we start off, and this reminds me, in all of this, Joe Castiglione, Hall of Famer, does the Cooperstown thing. We appreciate that. We played that sound last week, so we should not forget that. And speaking of Hall of Famers, we have our Hall of Fame caller, Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Brad, I was a little worried about you. You know, that you're living that rock star lifestyle, and things are getting a little out of control, burning the candle at both ends. Is that what's going on?
You know, that's the thing. Like, people say, when I say, well, what happened? And, you know, like, I'm just like, I fell off a scooter. You're too old to be that. Like, what? Like, really? That's what it's become? I can't stand on a scooter? No. I'm going to – Jeff, my lifestyle is never going to change. So that includes doing this show with these fellas right here and taking your call. So what do you got for me?
Well, I'm glad to hear. Well, you know, a couple of things. One is, first of all, I just discounted Denver completely. Like, I can't stand any games played in Colorado at this point. You know, I'm sure it's a beautiful park and all that, but, you know, so I went in to those three games thinking, I don't care what happens. This is not representative, baseball. It's a different environment. It's so different. So I just kind of ignored those, which made the week a lot easier for me. But the other thing is the Alex Cora thing. I was just so, you know, I was really hoping. I thought All-Star break. I thought they would sign him during the All-Star break. I was hoping the negotiations were going on. But I just felt like it was the perfect time to sign him because I like a lot of people, I take this as one, that Breslow and Cora are on the same page. And that's what I was hoping for because I like Breslow. I think he's going to do a good job. And then just to kill all the, you know, the questions about his contract, like people kept saying, like, well, why now? And I'm like, the sooner you announce it, the less anybody has to answer any questions about Alex Cora and his contract. And I think the second half of the season, That's huge. That's one less distraction.
So, Jeff, I'm glad you brought up the Cora contract because we haven't talked about this at all, right? So this is what happened with the Cora contract. And I'll try to make it as quick as possible. A couple weeks ago, Craig Breslow goes to ownership, and he basically says, I'm ready. I've seen enough. Alex Cora is the guy I want to be manager. Now, Alex Cora said, we're not talking. You know, they have gone down that road as well. But, of course, if they're going to talk at the right price, we all knew this. So Craig Breslow, who had the ultimate decision of this, he says to ownership, I want to talk to Alex Cora about this. They said, okay. So they go down. They said, Alex Cora, we want to talk about the contract. The terms were all over the place. They had a 2-year deal on the table. They had a 5-year deal on the table. They landed a 3-year deal on the table. But the most important thing was they came in at just over $7 million a year. Now, understand, that was an enormous part of this. And Alex Cora played this perfectly. Like, he would never admit this, but he played this perfectly. Everything from, I'm not going to talk about it, I'll go to the end, you know, waiting for, you know, Craig Breslow to decide this. And then Craig Breslow deciding that he wants to be the manager, him to be the manager is one thing, but then ownership saying, all right, we know what it's going to cost is another thing because there isn't another manager. The terms that we came off the website were all wrong. Like, I think they were all wrong. There, from what I understand, there isn't another manager other than Craig Counsell that is making as much as $5 million. So that's what they had to commit. That's where they landed what they did. And the only thing I was like, for me, was a little surprising was Craig Breslow, sure, you know that this is going to be your manager, but don't you want to wait to see how the whole trade deadline dynamic shakes out? And he didn't. That's his prerogative. So there you go. There's some context for you, Jeff.
But I also think that was a good sign for Cora because I expected Cora to, you know, at least wait till the trade deadline, you know, to see what they're going to do. So I got to believe that they're so comfortable with each other at this point, and he has enough faith that he was like, yeah, I trust what's going to happen. Because right now, like, I still feel like what's happened so far, like Chaim Bloom moves. I mean, Chaim Bloom would have gotten James Paxton under the deal, how it worked out. You know, they're going to DFA him anyway, and you make a deal for him. Jansen's a little more, they gave a little more than, but again, I don't know much about the prospects they gave up. So you know, I'd love a blockbuster, but I'm still looking for, we need something a little, you know, a little more certainty, to use your term, right? I still want to see a pitcher, somebody that you feel is still, you know, at the peak of the game.
What you're going to get down the stretch. We don't know what Danny Jansen is. We don't even know what James Paxton's going to be, right, guys?
No, I mean, how could you be confident in what you're going to get from him?
No, but if they traded for Paredes, if they traded for
Chafin.
Well, Chafin.
Mike Enner Scott. You know, you're talking about top of the market.
You traded for who's the guy that went to San Diego?
Jason Adam.
You know what you're going to get. It's going to cost you. But Jeff, I think all things considered, from the last time we talked, which is a week ago, to now, it really is. I mean, this is what we wanted, right? We wanted
exactly the
idea that Craig Breslow was going to get aggressive alongside Alex Cora, right?
This is not like the last 2 years. This feels completely different.
No.
You've got excitement. It's just one last thing. It's funny to me. Like, we're talking about how much money, you know, we're paying Alex Cora, and that's basically like a middle infielder. You know, it's amazing. They're like, you know, $7 million a year for a manager. And you're like, you know, you could be a backup shortstop and make that today.
Jeff, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. But, you know, I think the guys with the Cora thing, it's different layers of it. It's Craig Breslow saying, I'm ready to say that he's the guy, which all is all well and good. But if they come out to Alex Cora and say, okay, we're going to give you $4 million, like, we might be still sitting here without a contract.
Well, that's my question here, is because I see so many people just rushing to the take of Alex Cora was willing to commit to the Red Sox, and that must mean that he is happy with the direction that they're going to take at the trade deadline and that they're going to spend money in the offseason. And I'm curious, Rob, do you subscribe to that? Because I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're Alex Cora, your family's happy here, and he's talked about that extensively, that so much of this was a family decision, and the Red Sox are willing to offer you the kind of money that they did, which, as you just said, no team has a manager making more than $5 million besides the Cubs with Craig Counsell. So you're being offered semi-unprecedented money to stay where your family is comfortable and manage an organization that did what they did to bring Alex Cora back after the whole Astros thing. Do you, like, I just don't quite buy into the fact that this guaranteed means that
you don't think it means anything for the future of the like the roster or anything, right?
Like, maybe it does, but I don't know why people are rushing.
I'm a little confused, but I think what you're saying is you're saying that people are saying they did this, so they're obviously going to invest more than they have invested.
It's I'm saying indicator. It could be an indicator, but I'm saying people think that Alex Cora would not commit to the Red Sox.
Red Sox didn't guarantee that they're going to go.
Right. If they didn't tell him that they were going to spend and they didn't tell him that they were going to buy at the deadline, like, he wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know if – I think that even before this, I think that's – the narrative that the Red Sox were going to become the Oakland A's or the Tampa Bay Rays, I don't think was realistic. And I think if you can go back to – comments by Craig Breslow, how saying in the offseason, this isn't predictive of what we are going to do in the future. Or even talking about the deadline, ownership has shown that if we are in it, that they are going to allocate resources and money, whatever it is. So everything was leading to the idea was, I think what it came down to, guys, was John Henry with the odds thing, which still every time the 20-1, 30-1, he was just like, we're not allocating this year, but we're going to allocate with Kyle Teal and Roman Anthony and Marcelo Marga. Now, that's when we're going to go for it. And I think everybody assumed that. It just so happened that, you know, everything got advanced. And the other part about this is Alex Cora likes managing this team.
Yeah.
Like, if he was managing a bunch of guys, like, oh, my God, like, what a bad clubhouse. Like, if he was managing, I don't know, what's the bad? Like, the
White Sox.
The White Sox or the Blue Jays, like the you know, whatever. But he likes his team. Without telling tales out of school, I talked to him briefly today, and he said, how much he likes this team. Like, how much he's encouraged. Like, we're going to be okay.
I mean, we forget. We're around Fenway all the time. We're around the Red Sox all the time. We forget how big of a deal it is to be part of the Boston Red Sox. It's not just... It's not the White Sox or the Blue Jays, like you mentioned. It's a big historic team. So I think he cares about stuff like that. I'm kind of torn on what Gordo was talking about, whether or not it means something for the future of the team. But the fact that Cora is locked in and he's happy to be here, I think everyone should be happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about the Cora thing, and I think there was a lot of good takes on it and a lot of viable thing. I mean, there's a very real if, number one, Breslow had to buy in, right? Like, people say, well, why didn't they get this done and whatever? Well, because this is how it was always going to work. It was going to be uncomfortable. They were placing their bets that Breslow was going to get along with Cora, and if they didn't get along with Cora, it was going to be one and done.
And you know what, Rob? And that's not such a small deal either, because you saw the Cora-Heim relationship. So if you're coming into that job with this organization and you're replacing Heim, It's not so easy as just extending Alex Cora. Like, you got to make sure that you have a good working relationship, well, especially if it's going
to take
that
kind of
money.
That has to be the priority. Like, that has the narrative that it wasn't Breslow's decision. I didn't get that, because, you know, this is how this ownership group has operated going back to Dombrowski, when they went away from, well, we don't know who's making the decisions, Lucchino and Werner and Henry and Sam Kennedy and all these people. They said, Dave Dombrowski is the decision maker. He's going to make the decisions until we don't like the decisions. And they did that until they didn't like the decisions. Chaim Bloom came in. It was the same thing. You're going to make the decisions until we don't like the decisions. Sure enough, that's what happened. Craig Breslow, it was the same thing, and part of those decisions was always going to be Alex Cora. And so, like, that was a very real thing. But as they went along, as I said, I mean, they were waiting for Craig Breslow to do what he did a couple weeks ago, which is walk upstairs or wherever this, I don't know, wherever these offices are, and say, I'm ready. I am secure that Alex Cora is the guy. And the fact, guys, that the ownership was willing to go 5 years with him tells you how sure they were about this.
Yeah, it's good to see some conviction coming from the front office.
Yeah.
It's true.
And so now there was this feeling, I think this feeling that we're going to see, like, listen, it's a results business. You have to make moves. You have to get uncomfortable. But there is that feeling of, okay, let's go. Let's go. And in the Jansen trade, it was a small thing. There's small things. We don't have the deal that we want, right? We don't have that deal. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, not yet. Not for the right-handed bat.
No, not the like, okay, they're being aggressive. They're going to be buyers. But there's a few things. There's when Casas gets hurt, they're proactive about it. They go out and get Dom Smith and Garrett Cooper. They could have sat there, rode out Dahlback or whatever it is, and
which
they
is
did
what they'd done in recent years.
Right. But they were aggressive.
It was the first good sign we saw.
Right, exactly. So, and then the Paxton thing, they knew that, I mean, that was sort of a no-brainer, honestly. But the Jansen thing, I don't think people understand, this was a Dombrowski trade. Like, this was more of a Dombrowski trade than a Chaim Bloom trade. Yeah. Like, Chaim Bloom was the guy, and I'll preface this by saying, nice guy, did a lot of good things here and everything else. But Chaim Bloom was always the guy, when you did a trade, you had to get the three guys back for the one. When is a deal where he gave up three guys for one? Never.
Yeah, I don't think he ever
never
did. Literally.
And so Dombrowski would always get heat from people in baseball. Oh, look it, you kept us adding guys to these deals. Well, you know why? Because he knew those guys were never going to make the major leagues.
Oh, yeah, it was miserable in 2018 when they won every single game and then won the World Series.
Right?
Didn't you hate that?
But I go back to when
the guys they traded.
Thanks a lot.
Remember when? He traded for J.D. Martinez, I think it was.
Talking about with
Dombrowski, back when he was with the Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Not with the Red Sox. Yeah, yeah.
No. But if you go look at, like, oh, my goodness, you gave up three guys. Go look at all those guys were nothing. That's the example that popped to mind.
How about Sale trade.
Yeah, but you knew you were going to have to give up guys in that.
No, but those two guys that you gave up, one was the best prospect in baseball.
That was a good point. It's like, that they kept it. Oh, you want a Basabi brother? Sure. I will give you a Basabi brother. And so that is the point. This Breslow, this deal for Jansen, is more along the lines of Dombrowski than Heim Bloom. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It felt like Bloom, if you wanted a little bit extra on the trade coming from Boston, he would walk away from the table. Like, it's like, oh, it's a little bit too much. We're going to pass. Where it's like, you're going to really axe this trade over the 29th-ranked prospect? Really?
This deal, listen, whether it works out or not, this Heim Bloom does not do this deal.
No.
The other point, too, is it's not even just about what you're giving up. It's about the guy you're getting. Like, we talk about all these holes that need to be plugged in the Red Sox roster. Backup catcher was not necessarily first, second, or third on anyone's mind, but they saw a guy, they like his swing, they like what he can do at Fenway Park, they like how he's played at Fenway Park, and they said this is a spot that we can upgrade. Maybe it's not something that's the most pressing need, but it's how we can make the team better, and that's a guy that we like.
Yeah, so
they targeted what it comes that guy, down to, they gave what it took.
It's the old thing. It's focus on, and J.P. Ricciardi said this to me, it was that Billy Beane told him way back when they were both with the A's, focus on who you're getting and not who you're giving up. Now, obviously, you can't solely do that, but I think there's a lot to that statement, and that's what they're talking about here, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the calls when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We also have James Paxton, his first comments from the Red Sox clubhouse since his last comments from the Red Sox clubhouse, which I think is when he hurt his knee last September. But now he's back in the Red Sox clubhouse wearing red instead of blue. We'll get to all of that right after this.
Now, more of Bradfo and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Baseball's a boring show. You can catch us at BB Isn't Boring. Go to the socials right now. Go to the socials right now. What a week. These guys came up big for me yesterday. I mean, they were there when Matt Damon and Casey Affleck asked for the Baseball's Boring show t-shirt.
They were begging us for
that. They were begging you, and I said, guys, can you be there just in case they want one? And sure enough, you were there. Thank you, fellas. Gordo and Sammy of the Playtesting Podcast.
I totally embarrassed myself in front of Matt Damon.
You did? Why?
We were all saying, like, thank you. Nice to meet you.
You say, how do you like them apples?
I just went, and then he walked away. Awful.
Very nice guy. He's very nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So it's been a long stretch. It's been a great stretch, and it all sort of culminates here. The trade deadline, we love it. We want to have you call in. People are fired up in Boston and New England about this team. It's going to be – the crowds have been great here at Fenway Park the last couple nights, and it's going to be great tonight. You can already tell. Like, people are jacked up for this game. As good as the crowds, guys, have been the last two games, this is going to be the best crowd. Here's why. Because both teams have won a game. So you have, you know, the excitement for the Red Sox fans on Friday. You have the excitement for the Yankee fans last night. But you also have Red Sox fans are still, I think, ultimately, they know what's at stake here.
Yep.
They know that if they win this game, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, here we go, right?
And most of all, the Red Sox are fun again. You could tell people love it. This is drastically different just looking out on the street. So different from when I think they were playing the Tigers earlier in the year and it was a little sleepy, but now it's... it's hopping outside.
Yeah,
you talk about a fun team too. And I know they haven't been winning lately, 2-6 since the All-Star break, but they've been leading in 7 of those 8 games. So it's not
it is crazy how many leads they've had late in games.
It's been incredibly frustrating. I don't want to call the games fun because those are the worst kind of games as a fan to watch. But
Gordo hates that. That is Gordo's biggest pet peeve is when there's a game like last night where it was genuinely a good baseball game, but the Red Sox lose, and then we come on and we say, hey, it was a good game, despite the result. Gordo hates it.
This is science. Whenever we have a show, they're going to lose the day before.
That's true. That's why they won on Friday.
Yeah, of course.
Sunday Sox don't lose.
Of course. All right. Well, let's get back to the phone calls. Kevin from Billerica. Kevin, what's going on? How are you, my friend?
Hey, Rob and the baseball guys. I would like Vlad Guerrero, and I wouldn't trade Mayo or Teal, but the other two guys, I would do that. But I wanted to ask you, Bradfo, what do you think about the Red Sox draft? They drafted 14 pitchers out of 20 picks. I mean, that's amazing. Has any team ever done that before?
Well,
I mean, hopefully.
Well, what's amazing, Kevin, is that in the draft, you have all those pitchers, but everyone thought they were going to draft a pitcher in the first round. But what happened was that the kid who landed to them, Braden Montgomery, he was legit for them. It was like it was too good to pass up. And that's how you should approach it, right? Yeah. If you get the guy there, because the other kid, the other pitcher who ended up going, I'm drawing a blank on his name. I think he might have gone to the Cubs. But there was nobody who was at the level of Braden Montgomery in the first round. And then go out and get your million pitchers. That's fine.
Third year in a row that's happened to the Red Sox, where a really, really good draft pick just fell into their lap.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Anything else, Kevin? What's going on? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm just saying that's why I think Anthony is expendable, because we drafted the first round pick, this power hitting, whatever he is, first base, outfield. And I think the future is bright for the Red Sox, but they got to do something at the trade deadline. And Guerrero, for two of the top four, would be my pick. Thank you very much, Brad.
Yeah, all right, Kevin. Good to hear from you. And, we're sitting here and we're dealing with the James Paxton trade and we're dealing with the Danny Jansen trade. This is the thing that we aren't even entertaining, because I think everybody's like, oh, well, all you need to get is a Justin Turner. Well, what if you really want to trade Tristan Cassis? They're not going to do that.
No.
Okay. But you're saying,
hang up the phone right there.
But hear me out. Hear me out.
What if you want to trade?
Like, what if you want Marcelo Meyer, the latest rankings with number two prospect?
Keith Law.
Yeah, Keith Law.
Keith Law had him the second best prospect in baseball behind just Jackson.
You want to trade. You want to get uncomfortable. And you want to get our guy, Tarek Skubal, right? You want to get Garrett Crochet. And they're saying you want Marcelo Meyer. Okay.
See, I wouldn't do Meyer. I think Kevin's actually onto something when he said Roman Anthony. I don't know about the wording, calling him expendable, but if you move one of those guys, I think it would be Anthony. He's an outfielder. He's a lefty. You got plenty of those.
Okay.
I wouldn't move him now.
How about,
they're going to have to move a lefty outfielder at some point, whether it be him or someone that's already on the
roster. How about moving Willier Abreu?
Yeah, that's a guy.
But this is what I'm talking about. We're not thinking along those lines.
But that's because we're in season. Like, once come the off season.
So what?
I think our brains have been trained to think about these little ticky tack moves for the last 3 years.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah, I want to hear about a trade and gasp. I can't believe this happened.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we forget Nomar's Garcia Pera. You know, like this iconic shortstop was traded at the trade deadline. Like, that's what we're talking about. But instead, I think it was always like, well, if you do this, you got to win the trade. Let's play this out. Remember, they traded Michael Chavis for Austin Davis.
Big fudge.
Right? This was like as much as uncomfortable. And then Chavis had just gone so far down the list for those guys. They're like, it's just never going to happen here. But when we're talking about, forget about Meyer, forget about Anthony, forget about Teal. How about Nick York? Like, if Nick York is in a trade, it's going to be a significant trade.
But that's the perfect guy. Bradfo, that is the perfect guy because he's blocked. He plays second base and left field. He's probably not going to have a spot on the major league roster. He's hot right now, so he's got helium, and he's at the age where he's right ahead of being major league ready. Teams would love a guy like that. That's a guy I would
move. Exactly, when teams want to trade for guys, when they're right at the stage.
Get you fired up. Let's go.
Oh, I'm fired up.
That and the Dom Smith sign. Guys. Like, your adrenaline should be pumping.
No, I love this time of year, Rob.
I know you do.
There's.
I got this black eye just for you.
I know, dude. You do it for baseball. Isn't boring.
You were so fired up that you flew off that scooter.
I was.
Baseball was so unboring that day that you just went flying.
So I actually, no lie, there is a tinge of regret, because when I got up, now I fell off the scooter and landed on my face. I mean, that's not exaggeration. I landed on my face. But I got up and I was clear-headed. I had stickers in my pocket, and everyone gathered around. If I was really on my game, I would have whipped out one of the stickers and said, "Someone take a picture of me in a bloody mess."
They would have thought you were insane. Oh my God, that would have been great.
I would have done it,
Rob. Like, you got to post that on Twitter and the caption. You should see the other guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I've already put, we've already in production the Baseballs and Boring iPad.
Can you imagine on the ground? You're like, wait, wait, don't help me up. I'm going to film you. I'm going to hand you this sticker.
I mean, I could have done it. Oh, what a missed opportunity. All right, Mike from Connecticut. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
What's going on, Rob? First of all, when we lose to the Yankees, it's never a good game.
No.
Yes, he's right.
There we go.
I agree.
Rob, they got to address the bullpen. I mean, and I don't even care if they get rid of Jansen. That's the main need is they need a top reliever, even another left-hander or a right-hander, because Bernardino is not the same, and the bullpen is killing them. And I'm glad you guys brought up York. Why aren't they bringing the kid up and letting him play second base? Jamie Westbrook is nothing but a career minor leaguer. I don't know why they're not giving this York kid a shot, Rob.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. Let's get through the deadline. Let's see what happens with York. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
If you bring up York right before the deadline and he goes 1 for 27,
it's a good
that hurts the value.
If he pulls a Holiday, which is
yes, 1 for 30. Yes. I'd rather keep him in AAA while he's hot, and then after the deadline,
think about Jackson Holiday, the number one this can't miss kid, right? He gets called up, he goes 1 for 37, he goes back down, he's been okay. But think about the perception of him now.
It has changed, isn't
it's
it?
It's changed.
But that's prospect.
Still the number one? Was he the number one guy in Keeslaw?
Yeah, still number one. But think about it. Just for Red Sox fans, you saw it. You can think back. Willy Abreu, when he initially got called up, not too many people knew who he was. He wasn't on top 100 lists. But he played well down the stretch. And in the offseason, it was, this guy is going to play next year. He's a guy. Think back to when Jarren Duran initially got called up and he struggled. He was like a top 40-ish prospect when he got called up. And by that offseason or the next offseason, like the Who Says No, we were talking about just throwing him away. Trading him to the Marlins with Bobby Dalbec for Edward Cabrera. I think that was one of mine.
I said Astros for Spencer Arrighetti, who's got a 7 ERA. It's impossible to predict these things.
But that's the thing, is like when these guys get called up, their perceptions do change. If York gets called up, that could happen. But also the other thing is that if you call him up, you got to add him to the 40-man. And they are already in a 40-man crunch. And if you're adding guys via the trade deadline, you're already going to have to be removing
one
guys.
Thing I want to get
60-man, 60-day IL guys. Like Costa's coming back. Hendricks at some point. Like, they're going to have to get guys off the 40. So if you add York, you just complicate that even more.
One thing I would want to get to is the sort of Kenley Jansen stuff. Because this is, we can't talk about the trade deadline without Kenley Jansen. And we haven't even talked about it. I was in the clubhouse, but I get it. I was only there for 15 minutes. We have James Paxton's comments from the clubhouse earlier. I didn't get the chance. Evan, producer Evan of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast had a great point on @BB Isn't Boring, which is it going to be Kay Jansen now on the uniform?
I was asked this yesterday by someone, and I don't, there's no way.
They're fairly easy.
I think it has to be D Jansen.
I feel like usually they want both of them to do it, but Kenley Jansen is,
yeah,
he's above that.
You know, it's
D Jansen and Jansen.
We know who Kenley is.
But we have to get to Kenley Jansen in that conversation. You want to be part of that conversation. 617-779-7937. We are at Fenway Park, the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast. Zach behind the glass. It's a good time. We're going to be with you all the way up into the pregame. That leads all the way up to the first pitch, which is going to be an electric game at Fenway Park. Be back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, more of Bradfo and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Baseball's a boring show. You can catch us at BB Isn't Boring. Go to the socials right now. Go to the socials right now. What a week. These guys came up big for me yesterday. I mean, they were there when Matt Damon and Casey Affleck asked for the Baseball's a Boring show, t-shirt.
They were begging us for
that. They were begging you, and I said, guys, can you be there just in case they want one? And sure enough, you were there. Thank you, fellas. Gordo and Sammy of the Playtesting Podcast.
I totally embarrassed myself in front of Matt Damon.
You did? Why?
We were all saying, like, thank you. Nice to meet you.
You say, how do you like them apples?
I just went, and then he walked away. Awful.
Very nice guy. He's very nice.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So it's been a long stretch. It's been a great stretch, and it all sort of culminates here. The trade deadline. We love it. We want to have you call in. People are fired up in Boston and New England about this team. It's going to be the crowds have been great here at Fenway Park the last couple nights, and it's going to be great tonight. You can already tell, like, people are jacked up for this game. As good as the crowds, guys, have been the last two games, this is going to be the best crowd. Here's why. Because both teams have won a game. So you have, you know, the excitement for the Red Sox fans on Friday. You have the excitement for the Yankee fans last night. But you also have Red Sox fans are still, I think, ultimately, they know what's at stake here.
Yep.
They know that if they win this game, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, here we go. Right?
And most of all, the Red Sox are fun again. You could tell people love it. This is drastically different just looking out on the street. So different from when I think they were playing the Tigers earlier in the year and it was a little sleepy, but now it's hopping outside.
Yeah,
you talk about a fun team too. And I know they haven't been winning lately, 2-6 since the All-Star break, but they've been leading in 7 of those 8 games. So it's not
it is crazy how many leads they've had late in games.
It's been incredibly frustrating. I don't want to call the games fun because those are the worst kind of games as a fan to watch. But
Gordo hates that. I could talk about that. That is Gordo's biggest pet peeve is when there's a game like last night where it was genuinely a good baseball game, but the Red Sox lose, and then we come on and we say, hey, it was a good game, despite the result. Gordo hates it.
This is science. Whenever we have a show, they're going to lose the day before.
That's true. That's why they won on Friday.
Of course.
Sunday socks don't lose.
Of course. All right. Well, let's get back to the phone calls. Kevin from Billerica. Kevin, what's going on? How are you, my friend?
Hey, Rob and the baseball guys. I would like Vlad Guerrero, and I wouldn't trade Maya or Teal, but the other two guys, I would do that. But I wanted to ask you, Bradfo, what do you think about the Red Sox draft? They drafted 14 pitchers out of 20 picks. I mean, that's amazing. Has any team ever done that before?
Well,
I mean, hopefully.
Well, what's amazing, Kevin, is that in the draft, you have all those pitchers, but everyone thought they were going to draft a pitcher in the first round. But what happened was that the kid who landed to them, Braden Montgomery, He was legit for them. It was like there's too good to pass up, and that's how you should approach it, right?
Yeah.
If you get the guy there, because the other pitcher who ended up going, I'm drawing a blank on his name. I think he might have gone to the Cubs, but there was nobody who was at the level of Braden Montgomery in the first round, and then go out and get your million pitchers. That's fine.
Third year in a row that's happened to the Red Sox, where a really really good draft pick just fell into their lap.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. Anything else, Kevin? What's going on? Anything else?
Yeah, I'm just saying that's why I think Anthony is expendable, because we drafted the first round pick, this power hitting whatever he is, first base, outfield. And I think the future is bright for the Red Sox, but they got to do something at the trade deadline. And Guerrero, with two of the top four, would be my pick. Thank you very much, Brad.
Yeah, all right, Kevin. Good to hear from you. And you know, we're sitting here and we're dealing with the James Paxton trade and we're dealing with the Danny Jansen trade. This is the thing that we aren't even entertaining, because I think everybody's like, oh, well, all you need to get is a Justin Turner. Well, what if?
Yeah.
What if you really want to trade Tristan Cassis? What they're not going to do?
No.
Okay. But you're saying
hang up the phone right
there. But hear me out. What if you want to trade? Like, what if you want Marcelo Meyer, the latest rankings with number two prospect?
Keith Law.
Yeah, Keith Law.
Keith Law had him the second best prospect in baseball behind just Jackson.
You want to trade. You want to get uncomfortable. And you want to get our guy, Tarek Skubal, right? You want to get Garrett Crochet. And they're saying you want Marcelo Meyer. Okay.
See, I wouldn't do Meyer. I think Kevin's actually onto something when he said Roman Anthony. I don't know about the wording calling him expendable, but if you move one of those guys, I think it would be Anthony. He's an outfielder. He's a lefty. You got plenty of those.
Okay.
I wouldn't move him now.
They're going to have to move a lefty outfielder at some point, whether it be him or someone that's already on the
How about moving Willie Abreu?
Yeah, that's a guy.
But this is what I'm talking about. We're not thinking along those lines.
But that's because we're in season. Like, once come the offseason.
So what?
I think our brains have been trained to think about these little ticky-tack moves for the last 3 years.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah. I want to hear about a trade and gasp. I can't believe this happened.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, we forget Nomar's Garcia-Pera. You know, like this iconic shortstop was traded at the trade deadline. Like, that's what we're talking about. But instead, I think it was always like, well, if you do this, you got to win the trade. Let's play this out. Remember, they traded Michael Chavis for Austin Davis.
Big fudge.
Right? This was like as much as uncomfortable. I mean, Chavis had just gone so far down the list for those guys. They're like, it's just never going to happen here. But when we're talking about, forget about Meyer, forget about Anthony, forget about Teal. How about Nick York? Like, if Nick York is in a trade, it's going to be a significant trade.
But that's the perfect guy. Bradfo, that is the perfect guy because he's blocked. He plays second base and left field. He's probably not going to have a spot on the Major League roster. He's hot right now, so he's got helium, and he's at the age where he's right ahead of being Major League ready. Teams would love a guy like that. That's a guy I would
move. Exactly, when teams want to trade for guys, when they're right at the stage of development.
This should get you fired up. Let's go.
Oh, I'm fired up.
That and the Dom Smith sign. Guys. Like, your adrenaline should be pumping.
I love this time of year, Rob.
I know you do.
There's
I got this black eye just for you.
I know, dude. You do it for Baseball Isn't Boring.
You were so fired up that you flew off that scooter.
I was.
Baseball was so unboring that day that you just went flying.
So I actually, no lie, there is a tinge of regret. Because when I got up, now I fell off the scooter and landed on my face. I mean, that's not exaggeration. I landed on my face. But I got up and I was clear-headed. I had stickers in my pocket, and everyone gathered around. If I was really on my game, I would have whipped out one of the stickers and said, "Someone take a picture of me in a bloody mess."
They would have thought you were insane. Oh my God, that would have been great.
I would have done it,
Rob. Like, you got to post that on Twitter and the caption. You should see the other guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I've already put. We've already in production. The Baseball's in Boring iPad.
Can you imagine on the ground? You're like, wait, don't help me up. I'm going to film you. I'm going to hand you this sticker.
I mean, I could have done it. Oh, what a missed opportunity. All right, Mike from Connecticut. What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
What's going on, Rob? First of all, when we lose to the Yankees, it's never a good game.
No.
Yes, he's right.
There we go.
I agree.
Rob, they got to address the bullpen. I mean, and I don't even care if they get rid of Jansen. That's the main need is they need a top reliever, even another left-hander or a right-hander, because Bernardino is not the same, and the bullpen is killing him. And I'm glad you guys brought up York. Why aren't they bringing the kid up and letting him play second base? Jamie Westbrook is nothing but a career minor leaguer. I don't know why they're not giving this York kid a shot, Rob.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. I think that let's get through the deadline to see what happens with York. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
If you bring up York right before the deadline and he goes 1 for 27,
it's a good
that hurts the value.
In other words, if he pulls a Holiday, which is a 1 for 30.
Yes. I'd rather keep him in AAA while he's hot, and then after the deadline,
think about Jackson Holiday, the number one this can't miss kid, right? He gets called up, he goes 1 for 37, he goes back down, he's been okay. But think about the perception of him now.
It has changed, isn't it?
It's changed.
But that's prospect.
Still the number one. Was he the number one guy in Keith Law?
Yeah, still number one. But think about it. Just for Red Sox fans, you saw it. you can think back. Willy Abreu, when he initially got called up, not too many people knew who he was. He wasn't on top 100 lists, but he played well down the stretch. And in the offseason, it was, this guy is going to play next year. He's a guy. Think back to when Jaren Duran initially got called up and he struggled. He was like a top 40-ish prospect when he got called up. And by that offseason or the next offseason, like the Who Says No, we were talking about just like just throwing him away. Trading him to the Marlins with like Bobby Dalbec for Edward Cabrera. I think that was one of mine.
I said Astros for Spencer Arrighetti, who's got a 7 ERA. It's impossible to predict these things.
But that's the thing, is like when these guys get called up, their perceptions do change. If York gets called up, that could happen. But also the other thing is that if you call him up, you got to add him to the 40 man. And they are already in a 40-man crunch. And if you're adding guys via the trade deadline, you're already going to have to be removing
one
guys.
One thing I want to get
60-man, 60-day IL guys, like Costa's coming back, Hendricks at some point. Like, they're going to have to get guys off the 40. So if you add York, you just complicate that even more.
One thing I do want to get to is the sort of Kenley Jansen stuff. Because this is, you know, we can't talk about the trade deadline without Kenley Jansen. And we haven't even talked about it. I was in the clubhouse, but I get it. I was only there for 15 minutes. We have James Paxton's comments from the clubhouse earlier. I didn't get the chance. Producer Evan of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast had a great point on @BB Isn't Boring, which is it going to be Kay Jansen now on the uniform?
I was asked this yesterday by someone, and I don't, there's no way.
They're fairly easy.
I think it has to be D. Jansen.
I feel like usually they want both of them to do it, but Kenley Jansen is...
Yeah,
he's above that.
You know,
it's Jansen and Jansen.
We know who Kenley is,
but we have to get to Kenley Jansen in that conversation. You want to be part of that conversation? 617-779-7937. We are at Fenway Park, the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Gordo and Sammy from the Play Tessie podcast. Zach behind the glass. It's a good time. We're going to be with you all the way up until pregame, and that leads all the way up to the first pitch, which is going to be an electric game at Fenway Park. Be back after this.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.